Today on Real Radio.
The Holy Spirit will speak to you so that you understand. And when he speaks, he says, "You're mine." If you don't know this, friend, that's why we embarked upon this series.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called "Who Told You That You Are Going to Heaven?" Part 4, continues in a series called "Who Told You?" A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences, of course, but how do those beliefs stack up to Scripture? Well, this series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. In parts 1, 2, and 3 of this message, we learned who will enter heaven and how they will get there. We also discovered that there are those who think that they are going to heaven, but they won't, because they choose to follow a different gospel, if you will. Only biblical salvation is unconditional and absolute. God's intimate love for us transcends space and time to secure eternal life in heaven for all who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and He knows all things. 1 John 3:20 also assures us that all those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ will have eternal life. And now, continuing his lesson called "Who Told You That You Are Going to Heaven?" Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Look, you may be a believer in all that is righteousness and all that is churchianity and be as lost as hell itself. Are you born again? God commits no abortions in His family. Do you know Him personally? If you do, you have an absolute salvation. You have to walk around worrying. You get to walk around serving your King. It's a glorious life to live. Just know this, He loves you. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, "Therefore, He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him." What a radical statement. Jesus is saying, "You come to me and I'll make sure that you get to the Father," since He always lives, ever lives, to make intercession for them. What a great thing. Jesus is constantly representing you before His Father, and it's good. Do you know Him like that? Do you know Him? You have an absolute salvation if you know Him. What an encouraging truth that is. Our salvation in Christ is invincible. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. It's acceptable because now we are placed in Christ, the Bible says. In Him, we're placed. God looks at Christ to see you. And it's a very intimate salvation that Jesus says in John's gospel, "I will be in you and my Father will be in you. We will hold you in one another's hands." John chapter 10, what an amazing assurance. Do you have that today? Do you have full assurance that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Based on what? Purely the merits of Christ. It's an absolute salvation. When we look at this morning, the Bible tells us, and listen, I know you've heard this, we can all quote it. This is the danger. This is the danger with this verse. "For God so loved the world that He gave, gifted, bestowed, presented His only begotten, preeminent, one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Does Jesus, church, does Jesus sound a little wavery, little sketchy? Is He kind of ambiguous about it? This is Jesus speaking. How about this? Read it again carefully. How about, follow along. "For God loved the world that He gave." Did you hear that? I changed it. "He so loved you." So loved you. It's firm. I do not believe that God would put forth His Son to die, that someone puts their faith in Him for salvation, and then leaves them for the rest of their life prone to their own demise. I believe when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit resides within the believer a transformation takes place, and that he never stops until I awake in his presence in heaven above. I see God working in your life, in my life. I see that in the Bible, and I'm not going to be distracted or be waylaid by the gossip of people or by goofball doctrines often employed to manipulate the congregations. The church ought to be bold. It ought to be incredibly. You know what? I'm getting a little concerned about a word that's getting stolen from us, and I'm going to use it right now. It's the word radical. We need to take the word radical back because it's all going over to those radical Muslim terrorist people. That's a great word to waste on a bunch of crazies. That's terrible. The Christian should be radical. You know what? Listen, right now in my mind, I'm throwing out spiritual pixie dust on all of you. You're radical. What happened to those people at Calvary Chapel? They were radicalized. Do you know what happened to them? What happened? What's the media reporting? Oh, they went to that church and they were radicalized. See, they use that word. It's all in the negative, huh? You're even thinking right now, I don't know if I'd say that too loud. No, I'm going to say it louder. Here's the deal. If we're radicalized as Christians, we will be the most bold, loving, joyful, caring, compassionate people the world has ever seen. That's radical. Listen, for Christianity, radical's normal. We got to crawl up to ground zero to be radical, which is normal. The first century Christians were radical. They were normal. You read the book of Acts. It's so awesome. It's so radical. God is saying, keep going. God wants to do that today. Listen, here's some more comfort. In 1 John 2:2, the Bible says he himself, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. What? Listen, this is fun. Number one, propitiation, big word. Jesus Christ died in our place. He offered himself to be the sacrificial price to be paid because you and I can't. So, for example, if you could right now, if you reached into your pocket and you had your phone or your checkbook or whatever, and I were to say to you, can you write right now a $100 million check? I don't know what your response would be. Okay, I actually talked to a group of people, and I happen to have known one of the speakers that was speaking at this event in D.C., and I looked his life up online, and he's actually worth $100 million. And so in my mind, that's where I got that analogy from. And so he felt I was being very personal, I guess, about that. But you might say, well, it doesn't bother me at all, Pastor. You know why? Because you and I don't have $100 million. You don't even bat an eye because it's impossible. And then God comes along and says, I tell you what. Your sin, it's really huge. It's really, well, how much is it going to take, God, for me to cancel out my sin so I can get into heaven? You just say the number, Lord. Well, I tell you what, it's going to take this. The first problem is our currency doesn't exchange into his currency. He doesn't take dollars. Okay? He doesn't take euros and he doesn't take pesos. Listen, truth told, he takes blood, but not just any old blood. It has to be the price of perfection. You can have perfection, but perfection abides by itself until it offers up itself. And as soon as perfection offers up itself, it now provides. And that's through blood. It had to be the blood of his son. Now God is saying, I can forgive you completely of everything, not based upon anything of you, because you have nothing. God says to us, your righteousness is as filthy rags. In the Hebrew language, I'm not kidding. Your righteous deeds are as a menstrual cloth. That's what the word means. And it's like, are you, what? What? And look, if you're Jewish, it's like, get out. That's why God said it to them like that. The best you can do is the worst. Well, then what do I do? You come to me with an offering that is beyond your ability to pay. I don't have it. I knew you'd say that. His name's Jesus. He has it. And he, because of love, steps in and he satisfies that demand. God so loved you that that's what was going on at the cross. Hey, this is an encouraging verse, 1 John 3:20. I love this verse, 1 John 3:20. Are you ready? For if our heart condemns us, has your heart ever condemned you? God is greater than our heart and knows all things. What a great verse that is. All right, hang on. 1 John 5:13. Here it is. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you know? You've got to know. Don't leave here today saying, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Listen, it's not based upon us talking ourselves into this. There's an internal witness. The Holy Spirit will speak to you so that you understand. And when he speaks, he says, you're mine. If you don't know this, friend, that's why we embarked upon this series. You have got to know this. You've got to take 1 John 5:13 and make sure it's true in your life. Don't hope it's true. Don't wish it true. Don't think it true. Make it true. How do you do that? Luke chapter 19, I encourage you to read Luke 19 later today. I'll just give you a couple verses. It's really beautiful. Jesus is ministering, and there's a little guy trying to follow the ministry, what's going on, climbs up a tree, trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. Jesus spots him. He's Zacchaeus, famous Zacchaeus. And Jesus says to him, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I'm going to have dinner at your house. Isn't that funny? Jesus never did that. But that guy's up there. Can you imagine that little guy going, shimmying down the tree? And he's running. And the Bible tells us in Luke 19:9, and Jesus said to him, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Is Jesus ambiguous on this? Does this leave any room for doubt? Zacchaeus, come down. And they go to the house, and Jesus, without any doubt, says, salvation has come to this home. Wow. You should not be in doubt. Do you want Christ in your life? If all the people and all the wealth and all the things of the world were paraded in front of you, and your finger obeying your heart and your mind, your will went right to Jesus Christ, would you do that? The world parades its junk and its offers in front of you, and you just go right to Christ. Would you do that? And then it's a guaranteed salvation. It's not only absolute. God saves you. God will keep you saved. God will get you into heaven. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Again, the question is, are you born again? That leads us to a guaranteed salvation. A guaranteed salvation. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 30, I tell you what, this is awesome stuff. Please listen to the guarantee. You cannot get a better guarantee than this. Romans 8, 28. And we know, there's that word again. And we know that all things... Wait. How's your life going right now? What's happening? How's your business? How's your health? How's your relationships? How's your ministry? What's going on? All things work together for good to those who love God. Who are these people? Those who are called according to his purpose. Did God call you? Let me tell you, those who he's called, you know you've been called to be in his family. It's all based on this, his foreknowledge. I love verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. That's awesome. We do this all the time, you and I. We do a lot of decision making based on foreknowledge. I know Wahoo's fish tacos are awesome. How do I know that? Foreknowledge. I've tasted it and been there before. What am I predestinating right now for me? To go there. Based on what? Because I know what it's like. How do you know? Been there. See, God's eternal. You think that God's wheels go into effect the day that you say yes to Christ. God's plan has always been in effect before the worlds were ever created. He knew. See, I don't like that. It doesn't matter what you like. Here's the deal. God knew a bazillion million years ago that when the gospel would be presented to you, what you would do with it. In his foreknowledge, he knew how you would vote on Christ. Yes or no? Up or down? In or out? Christ. He knew that. For hell to be justifiable, for heaven to be appreciated, God built within every human being a free moral agency of choice. And we all appreciate choice. And when it comes to salvation, salvation has this. The offer is made, and God already knows in advance because he already saw the show happen. It's like you renting a movie that you've already seen. You know how it's going to go. God in eternity, and known only to God, is how you're going to vote. He doesn't send you to hell. Listen, this is weird. He doesn't send you to hell. He actually answers one prayer, at least one prayer he'll answer for you. And that one prayer is what you've been praying all your life. I don't want to hear about God anymore. Leave me alone, you Christians. I will not believe. God hears that prayer request. And if the door shuts with you standing in that position without repentance, God answers your prayer and you go exactly where you wanted to go. You wouldn't be happy in heaven. We'd all be up there going, wow, and you'd be, I didn't want to be here. You wouldn't have fun in heaven. You hate God and all that is of God. What's God supposed to do with you? Change my mind? As soon as he violated that, then he's got a bunch of robots running around in heaven. And no one's had love with a robot. If you have, you're a freak. It takes a person and a personality to love. Imagine today if we could crank open the bowels of hell and hear the testimony of people, what they would say. I've done funerals for non-believers. Those are tough. You see, what do you say? You tell them the truth. But how do you do that? Simply this. If Adolf could be here today, I will say in the funeral, we know one thing for sure, what he would say. Love Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You know that's true. That's true in heaven, and it's true in hell. Choice. We all fight for choice, but we don't want to be responsible for choosing. That is an insane, non-realistic world. No, it's a guaranteed salvation, friends, and it's awesome. The Bible tells us still in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he foreknew, these he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Listen to this, that he might be the firstborn, preeminent one among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called, and whom he called, he justified. You notice these are all in past tense. It's done. It's already done. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. We're moving. Isn't it amazing? Are you a believer today? You are moving along on a route that God knows, and the end is absolute justification before God in eternity forever. It's amazing to think. Nobody can offer this. Nobody can offer this but Christ. You can't find this anywhere but in Christianity. Nowhere. Try it. Go look. You'll find it only with Jesus. But wait, there's more. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, do you hear Paul? Therefore, woo! Having been justified by faith, it's done. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Unbelievable. We should be off the charts bold as Christians. Remarkable. Guaranteed. Christ guarantees it. Your salvation is on the ropes when Christ is on life support. If Jesus dies, you have no salvation. That's how secure your salvation is. You say, well, Jack, he's God. He's God the Son. That's right. And listen, just to cheer you up, you say, yeah, but he died once. Maybe he'll die again. Read the fine print. He died, the Bible says, once and for all, never to die again. You want to know why? When he died on the cross for your sins and when he rose again from the grave, your justification before God forever is built upon his ability to save you and keep you saved. He's so committed to that, he gave you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to live inside of you every day. And on that day that you drop dead or the rapture happens, the Holy Spirit's job is to present you to Christ. And he gets to wipe his hands. The Holy Spirit wipes his hands of you. Woo, job done. Then he goes back to work and goes bonkers all over the tribulation period as zillions of people get saved. It's remarkable. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Do you know that? Powerful truth. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:17 that love has been made complete or perfected among us in this. Now, this is crazy, amazing. Love has been completed or perfected among us in this. What's he going to say? How is love made complete among us? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. What does that mean? Jesus is the Christ, and we are the Christian. Jesus is the Christ, and we are the little Christ. That's what that means.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Who Told You That You Are Going to Heaven? Part 4. Thanks for listening. And when you have Jesus in your heart, you have the assurance that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Who Told You That You Are Going to Heaven? Part 4 is part of Pastor Jack's series called, Who Told You? It's a series that gives us the truth about heaven and salvation, and we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called Politics According to the Bible, written by Dr. Wayne Grudem. Have you ever wondered what the Bible says about war and taxes, politics, homosexuality, gun rights, and other worldview topics? This book was a major inspiration for Pastor Jack's Worldview series, so be sure to pick up your copy of the book today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's the book called Politics According to the Bible by Dr. Wayne Grudem. Did you know that there are tons of videos and content available via the Real Life app? Just go to your app store and get the Real Life app and check out the TV broadcasts, the Real Radio daily audio broadcasts, and Pastor Jack's Word to the Wise devotions. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs app, it's a place that you'll be encouraged and take advantage of the tools and resources available as you grow in your relationship with God. And also, did you know this ministry is 100% backed by you, the listeners? And now you can donate via the app if you'd like. Check that out as a real easy way to support this ministry. Tons of resources right there at your fingertips. Go to your app store and download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? Lots of content available for you. Simply go to youtube.com and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Maybe you can watch a message or two that you might have missed. Now, there are weekly teachings, real life programs, special messages and events, intro clips to Christianity, really anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available right there for you on YouTube. Don't forget to set your notifications up so that you can know when Pastor Jack has posted some new videos for you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.